Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. We'll finish out our program today with an escape from the rush of life to talk about the notion of refuge. Artist Deborah Mitchell is a third-generation artist whose images are inspired by the natural world. She works primarily as a printmaker, but she also sketches and draws on location. Her new exhibit is called Refuge. It opens at the Dahl Art Center in Rapid City this weekend. Deborah Mitchell, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Let's start with this word, refuge. Did you start the work in this exhibit? We'll get into the more details in a few minutes, but did you start with this notion of refuge, or did it kind of emerge from the work that you were creating?
It emerged from the work, absolutely.
And there's two sort of different origins of this exhibit. One is sort of your travels in Turkey, and one is your walk through the Black Hills. Let's talk about walking through the Black Hills. You got a fellowship from the South Dakota Arts Council in 2015, and you got to take a walk. Tell me what that experience was like.
Well, my proposal to the South Dakota Arts Council was that most people don't realize that I'm actually a visual artist, because most of my career here has been as a professor and as a gallery director, my curatorial work, and also teaching drawing and art history at the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. And I've been working away in my studio for years, but not that many people know that I actually am a professional artist too. I've shown more so out of state, and I've been in the governor's show and pieces here and there, and I really wanted to dig into the incredible beauty of the Black Hills. So that was, you know, the synopsis, I guess, of my proposal to the South Dakota Arts Council.
So then every day became walking, meditating on nature, sketching, and doing some still life. Tell me about that process.
Well, it was kind of interesting because I, well, for me anyway, because I would go walking, and there's some amazing hiking paths on that they've been developing in Rapid City on Skyline Drive, and just walking up there is just absolutely gorgeous. You feel like you're stepping out of the city. And I always used to take walks with my grandmother, and she had all kinds of things that she would collect. And I recall she had this shelf on, you know, near her window, where she would have beetles and seed pods and shells and things like that, and feathers. And it used to kind of, you know, freak me out that there were these bugs there. And I realized that I was collecting things as well. And so I also had sabbatical last fall. So I was really fortunate to be able to spend my days hiking and drawing and, you know, just spending time in nature, which is very inspirational for me. So I found that I was collecting these things, and I tried to take my other body of work into my sabbatical work, and it really wasn't working, because my work from Turkey is so much about color and pattern. So I thought, well, what I need to do is really explore the natural world here in a very realistic way. So as I was gathering all these things, I started doing little drawings, and then I went, wait a minute, I want to do something big. So I rolled out the biggest piece of paper I had, which was like, you know, 30 by 40, and gessoed it so that I could keep working on it and erasing. And I was using graphite. So I would draw something in, and I'd take a walk, and I'd bring something back home with me, and I'd have to erase it out so I could put in this new thing, treasure, object, seed pod, feather. And then, so each day I was adjusting my drawing, and it was very... for me, it also was an exercise with how I teach my students. Keep going, keep working, push, pull. Don't be afraid to draw something in, because you can always erase it. So in a way, it was a way for me to work through some of the lessons that I teach my students in drawing class. And as it developed, I was really excited about it. But I didn't, I didn't want it to be just a straightforward still life. So after that, I thought, well, you know, really, what can I do now that's kind of different, but not, not the same. And so and the days were getting colder, and it was quite dark out. And so what I'd do is I would bring things in, and as things were dying, there was more things to bring in that, you know, like a praying mantis kind of alighted on my porch this one afternoon. I was like, wow, that's a sign. So I tried to keep it alive as long as I could. And, you know, they're very fascinating little creatures. They kind of turn their head, and it was all, you know, I anthropomorphized it. But anyway,
as
it was
we do,
my buddy for a while, and then it had led its natural life and died on me. Mm-hmm. So then I put it into the still life, and as the days were getting shorter, I started lighting things in my studio at night. So it was really, you know, it was blustery and cold and rainy in October. And but I had this nice little warm refuge in my studio. And so I was lighting it as dramatically as possible. And I had a collection of different vases and containers. So I would put some of the things that I found, seed pods and dried weeds and such. And I have some skulls from the Black Hills and things like that. So I put those into this still life and lit it dramatically. And that wasn't quite enough. So another thing that I do when I travel, whether it's in foreign country or as I'm riding my motorcycle or just in the Black Hills, I look always for scraps on the side of the road and pull-offs and, you know, as you're walking down a city street. And not just any kind of scrap. It has to be really well worn, because I've always loved layers of time. And so,
Deborah, I'm gonna take a breath right there. It's painful for me to interrupt you because that's so brilliant. I didn't even want to ask you a question.
Sure.
But we're out of time. So will you come back and talk to us again some other time?
Absolutely.